Hello, I'm Keith Powell, and welcome to Focus Asia-Pacific from PCJ Radio International. Shukriya Bazakai is Afghanistan's ambassador to Norway. Shukriya was appointed as a member of the 2003 Leojinga, the body of representatives from all over Afghanistan that was nominated to discuss and pass the new constitution after the fall of the Taliban. In 2004, she was elected as a member of the House of the Peoples of the Warsi Djanga, the lower house of the National Assembly in Afghanistan. She was only one of a handful of female MPs to speak up for women's rights, and in many cases face death threats because of her views. BBC's Lise Doucette now brings us the story of this remarkable woman.
One thing was very interesting. The first thing Taliban say, let me tell you, sister, we are not this kind of people to attack on you.
They called you sister.
They called me sister. And I say, we will not talking about personal issues. Let's talk about women. My name is Shukriya Barghzai, and currently I am the Afghan ambassador in Oslo. And still I am a member of Afghan parliament since 12 years. And I've been journalist, drafting the constitution for my country. Afghan women politician, female politician, which is very rare, you can see. And working for freedom of speech, human rights activist, and champion of women's rights.
I'm Lise Doucette. I've traveled to Norway to see Shukriya. I've known her since early 2002, since those very first months after the Afghan Taliban was toppled. That moment of hope when its brutal rule ended, including the harsh treatment of women, banning them from public places, forcing them to dress in all-enveloping burqas, and forbidding girls from going to school. But the end of Taliban rule did not mean the end of Afghan women's battles for greater rights. In a deeply traditional society, where there's been one war after another for nearly four decades, Afghan women have always been fighting for a better life, and still do.
You were born in Afghanistan in 1970. That was during the time of the Afghan king, before the turbulence and the wars began, which Afghanistan still suffers today. Do you remember a moment when you were growing up, when you realized that being an Afghan girl was different from being an Afghan boy?
Never. I grown up in a bubble. So that was really nice to see and to get more father love. And I was the lucky one. Until my father was alive, I never seen any kind of discrimination between me or my brothers. But that was not the real life in Afghans. It was very difficult for me when I faced the reality, who I am and where I am.
Shukriya was born into an educated family. Her maternal grandfather was a senator during the time of King Zahir Shah. But no matter your upbringing, it's hard for any Afghan child to live in a bubble for long. Innocence was shattered at the end of the 1970s, a communist coup in 1978, the new leader's assassination the next year, then the Soviet invasion during a harsh winter at the height of the Cold War. So began Afghanistan's descent into a dark and deadly conflict.
I remember when I was just primary school student, my good and close friends, they was leaving the country with their family. I remember four or five of my very close friends from childhood, they already was been prepared to live. So it was very difficult. If anyone was my friend, I lost them because they were not anymore. And even inside of our family, most of our family members, like cousins, grandma, aunts, uncles, they left the country. I remember I was been asking my mom, Mom, when everything will be all right? And she was telling me one day.
But every day got worse. Afghanistan was a battlefield for a proxy war between the Soviet-backed government and Western-backed fighters known as the Mujahideen. By the time Soviet troops left a decade later, an estimated 1 million civilians were dead. 6 million had fled. It was the world's biggest refugee crisis then. I was living in Kabul when the Soviet soldiers pulled out in 1989. It was a time when Afghans dared to hope the worst was over. But the Mujahideen swept into Kabul in 1992, and soon after, Afghanistan was plunged into another war, infighting among rebel groups, what Afghans call the Civil War, and it plunged Shukriya into a new phase of her life.
How old were you when you got married?
19.
Was it your decision?
No, it was arranged marriage. But the problem was, from the very beginning when we get engaged, it was not supposed to be, let's say, with a gap of 3 to 4 years when we know each other, then we will be prepared for going married. So unfortunately, it doesn't happen because civil war start and my mom, she wants to go out of the country and my father-in-law just wants us to be married. So we couldn't find even a mullah easily to bring for a nikah. This is like where it's they called official marriage. So but they managed to bring someone for this nikah, and after that, my mom say, okay, now you're in a good hand. This is what she thought, but of course, I know she's not happy still.
And what year was that?
It was 1992.
Almost your entire life, your country has been at war, war after war. But was the beginning of the worst period in 1996 when the Taliban came to power in Kabul, where you were living?
I remember that day as well. I was pregnant on my first daughter. And I was supposed to deliver. And everyone was, my husband was asking me, let's go to Pakistan, let's go to somewhere else. The road to Pakistan was also been blocked and closed. And I say, I'm going nowhere. I will stay. I cannot go in such a situation. So immediately on 10th of October, 1996, my daughter, just 10 days or almost 2 weeks after Taliban, I delivered her.
One of the first things the Taliban did was order women to wear the burqa. Some women in this conservative society had always worn it, but now it was forced on everyone.
Totally cover yourself. Go and stay home. No education, no university, nothing. No job, no work. Even we as a woman shouldn't show up ourselves on the streets for them. It was very difficult. Why women are become so important for them? Why they are punishing us? Even for the little child girls, they were not able to attend the school.
And did you ever have encounters with them outside?
Many times. Many times. I never been agree what they was ordering. Inside of my house, I had my own freedom. Although outside, they punished me a lot. They beat me on the street. They tried to come and arrest me, but they couldn't find me. They may feel proud that they beat a woman on the street.
Did that change you as a woman?
A lot. A lot. A lot. Nobody beat me in entire of my life. Some unknown guy, just in a public, beating me. And yes, every single of their sweep was just like inside. I came a different person.
So every time they beat you with their whips, something happened inside you.
Yes.
What was it?
Like, stand up. Don't give up.
Late 2001. The Taliban were finally toppled after months of a very intense war, US-UK-led invasion of Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the moment when you realized the Taliban were gone?
I remember everything. When the US started attack, the sounds of B-52,
the bombers,
it has a very bad sound. The fear, the dead city. And all those rockets and preparation from Taliban side. And I remember the morning that I came out from my apartment without burqa. My driver was, don't want to drive. Say, sister, you forgot your burqa. And I say, I don't need it anymore.
Your crying. It's just, it's still emotional.
It is. It's part of my life. When you're forcing to wear something, not your choice, they force to cover my identity, who I am. They force us to be in the house. It's very difficult. And I remembered the way I was start breathing. I thought, now I can breathe oxygen. And you can't believe how it was important for me to show I am woman and I am part of this society. I am exactly capable like other men are. And I remember the little boys, they were saying hi to me because they believed that only foreigner can be without burqa.
Not long after the Taliban fell, I met you in Kabul. In fact, the BBC office was just a few houses down from your home. And you had just established a women's magazine, Ayna Izan, the Woman's Mirror. Yeah. You have a big smile on your face. But then you were, we met each other as journalists. Yeah. Why did you take that step? Why was that important to you to become a journalist and to have a women's magazine?
I had a lot to say. Silence. Being for ages. You know, those silence needs to come and make a voice. That's why this Women's Mirror was been established. And Women's Mirror was not a fashion mirror. It was Ayna Izan, just a mirror that everyone should see what women are saying. What is our message for our society and our community, and how community should judge us, whom we are, what we want. And therefore, I think if you have lots to say and you're keeping for the ages, it was a wonderful opportunity. And still, I remember those golden days and years and those great hopes we had at end of 2001. And I was very happy. I was the first female journalist, to be honest, in press conferences. At that time, there was no that much private TVs, radios, newspapers. So that was very strange to see a woman. And they, for the first look, they may thought she's a foreigner. But when I was raising a question, it's Afghan. And President Karzai was very kind. He gave us time for interviewing him four or five times, I think. And that was a great achievement.
It was a time of rare hope, but a broken country was starting almost from scratch. The new leader, Hamid Karzai, convened a traditional assembly, a Loya Jirga, to draft a new constitution. 20% of the 500 delegates were women. They also held 7 out of 35 seats in a special constitutional commission. Shukriya was one of them.
As you were trying to help draft a constitution, which you hoped would protect and strengthen women's rights, you started hearing rumors about your own rights within your marriage, your family?
Yeah. Yeah, that was very sad.
What were the rumors you were hearing?
It was my cousin, he came, and he told me about rumors that my husband got a second wife. No reason for it. From my own point of view, I was a perfect wife and I sacrificed a lot for him. It hurt me. It hurt me badly. This is exactly the time we are drafting the constitution and I am seeking for equal rights between men and women. And I am standing to put article, and I was already drafted that article, and luckily I put it, to the government to take a strong steps against all these custom and tradition which is violated women's.
Including polygamy.
All kinds. So not only polygamy, forced marriage, child marriages, all and everything. You can't believe that you're fighting for that. But what happening to yourself? It's like, okay, I cannot. It means we are not equal. He can do whatever he wants to. And I can't. Just simply because I'm women, simply because I don't have the rights, simply it's because Sharia say something like that.
It was a tough time for Shukriya as a woman, a politician, a mother, married for 12 years with 2 young daughters. if she divorced her husband, she would lose access to her girls, a price too big to pay. Not feeling well, she went to the doctor, and he had more shocking news.
"You're 6 months pregnant." I say, "Oh dear. Oh God. It was too late." I say, "Okay."
But you didn't leave your husband. You kept your baby and you also kept your husband.
The price was too high. If I was just thinking about myself, it means I will put my three daughter lives in danger. And danger doesn't mean they will not have shelter, they will not have a mother.
And then came the first parliamentary elections in 2005. You decided to run, and so did he.
Yes, he believed that he can buy everything with the money.
Because he's a multimillionaire, and we have to say that.
He'd been a multimillionaire from her grandfather. So it's like going on. Huh? And he thought that he could win. And of course, money is important when you're going for election. And he had a big family name with him and support of his family, cousins, employees, and everyone. And I was just a simple journalist. He had a wonderful campaign. He spent, I think, more than $500,000. But my one was just a couple of hundred because I bought this mobile loudspeaker. And my old campaign was a street campaign, without any permanent office, without preparing food for the people, without distributing SIM cards, without spending money. It was just I, myself.
Because you were how old then?
At the time, I was just 32.
No doubt in your mind that this is what you want.
Course.
You didn't have to think about it. You didn't have to think through the repercussions or...
No. Just there was no doubt. I was really prepared for that. To stand for it because I want to bring reform. And to bring reform, the only place I found it's being elected and being in parliament. So I have to work for it. And starting campaigning, street campaign. That was another taboo that was been broken. Because people saw a woman with the mobile loudspeaker on the streets of Kabul. And asking, "Hey, people, you know what's going on? There will be election. And I'm one of them. Would you believe me? This is what I want. Rights and justice."
Was that your slogan?
That was, and that is, and that will be.
And the vote itself, it was the first democratic election, parliamentary election,
yes,
that any Afghan could remember.
I believe that was the first fair election as well. A democratic election.
And your husband?
Oh, he was not half of me. Women was the winner for that election.
Do you remember the first day you walked into the Afghan parliament?
Mm-hmm.
It was a temporary parliament then, wasn't it?
I remember that day. I was very excited because during this jirga that we mentioned before, I met all these, even during the constitution, we was consulting with these warlords and argument, agreement. So I was being very loud. They knew me very well and I knew them very well.
And Shukriya knew the risks all too well. The first attempt on her life had come a few years earlier, in 2003, when she was helping to draft a new constitution. During a visit to the provinces, a bomb was placed in her hotel room. A last-minute change of plan meant she wasn't there when it went off. With every year that passed, the Taliban and other armed groups made a comeback, taking back territory from Afghan security forces, taking Afghan lives with suicide attacks, car bombs, gunfire. In November 2014, Shukriya Barakzai was their target.
A blast, and I don't remember what happened. I just opened my eyes with the sounds of crying, of my driver was been crying. And I was just opened my eyes. I saw my hand, my clothes is always almost burned.
A kind of explosion. It was a suicide bomb?
It was a suicide car bomb attack. 9 people lost their life and more than 30 people was been wounded. That was very difficult for me. Because particularly when I was sitting around the table, people, they lost their dear daughter, son, or some member of their family, plus the people who has been wounded. And I was asking myself again, they lost their life because of me. I'm the killer. But again, I was telling myself, I'm one of those victims. What I did wrong.
And now Shukriya's life had to change. Her movements had to be restricted. When she left her home, bodyguards went with her in her armored vehicle. The government warned her there were more death threats. And she was offered a way out, to be Afghanistan's ambassador in Norway. For the first time, Afghan women were taking on these roles too.
I was thinking a lot. It was very difficult for me. Come on, during the Taliban I didn't. I always been rejected to go outside of my country and to be with my family, with my mother, with my sisters, with my brothers. For almost 25, 26 years I lived without him. They always been abroad and I always been in Afghanistan. During the civil war, I was there. During Taliban, I was there in my country. With my people. And now, why? It's just because I don't want any other Afghan to lose their life because of me. That's it. I'm not the one to afraid. I'm not the one to give up. I'm not the one to say that, okay, they kicked me out. I'm the one that I'm suffering, being away, being apart from what I love, from those whom they need me.
Less than a year after the attack, which it's believed was carried out by groups linked to the Taliban, you were given an opportunity to confront this attack. What happened?
It was not really easy to sit with the people which is systematically they ignored. They ignored me as a woman. When they was in power, they reject us to be a part of society. I got a chance in 2015 in Oslo to sit for the first female talk between Taliban and Afghan women. I told my colleagues that we are making a history. We are sitting with the people, which is, they always didn't count us as a human being. But see, it's time. And they will accept us one day.
What were you feeling when you sat at this same table and saw them in front of you?
I feel very powerful than them, very much.
Did you ask them, either at the table or more privately, whether they were behind the attack against you?
I asked, and they refused, they reject.
They said they didn't do it?
They didn't do it. They, even from the very beginning, Taliban say they didn't do that. It's not them. When I say, okay, they say it's not them, then who? Till today, the government didn't share what's their find out about the attack. But lots of other attacks happened in Afghanistan. The Taliban didn't claim it.
It's more than 16 years since the Taliban was toppled in Afghanistan. How would you assess the situation for Afghan women now?
With the sacrifice of women and with the support of international community, with some positive policy from the government, we achieved a very shaky position that it can be ruined immediately in a political stage. But in a social stage, in a public, in a family, I think we are gaining back our prestige.
And for Shukriya Barakzai, is there going to be another fight for you?
Shukriya Barakzai has always been a fighter. If she stops her fight, she will not exist. I never had a normal life to plan what will may happen tomorrow or day after tomorrow or next year. Always that was the situation, that was the condition, was making agendas and programs for me. I will go back.
Shukriya Barakzai, it's always good to see you.
Thank you, it's a pleasure.
In a deeply traditional society like Afghanistan, with such huge obstacles for women, those who break through, like Shukriya, are exceptionally brave, but they also pay a huge price. It's a story which crosses cultures.
And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Focus Asia Pacific from PCJ Radio International. If you wish to contact us to let us know what you think of the program, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is very simple. It's focus@pcjmedia.com. Once again, focus@pcjmedia.com. On behalf of the whole team, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well, saying so long, take care. We'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye.